On prayer today, and I felt the need to give you something that is not straightly out of the book of Isaiah, but to five pointers that will enable us to know that we are praying according to the mind and the ways of the Lord. I've been reading the works of E.M. Bounds. He is a classic author on the subject of prayer. And I must say there are a lot of good things, and he is a great writer, very clear, very short, and crystal clear statements that are very powerful and helpful. But upon this one point I cannot agree, and that is that the test of prayer is answered prayer. Now, we would all love to have some mighty, wonderful powers with the Lord that instantly, in every occasion, everything we ask, just immediately the answer is given. But that is not always, and certainly not always, the way that the Lord is pleased to work. And I think that God may answer many prayers immediately, but very often we're too dull to recognize the answer. When we pray for protection, we don't know the timing of that other vehicle that is moving off from the stoplight. We don't know all the facts and details that play into even our safe arrival here at church tonight. And while we pray for protection, well, do we recognize that as an intervention from God? Not necessarily, but God is absolutely at work. And of course, he may strive with our souls for whom we are praying, and we're not even aware of it. God may be doing a work in hearts, in our families, in our congregation, or further afield, and we are in the dark. God has been pleased to begin a work that the fruit of it will not be for some time. Many a missionary has given his whole life to the work of the gospel, sown with tears and labored with hardship, and yet did not see much harvest. And only after they leave this world does the harvest come. And so there is no way that we can box God into the corner and say that unless God answers this prayer in this way at this time, then God doesn't answer prayer. No, I don't think that we can make that the final test, the barometer of prayer. Now, we do need to pray in faith. We do need to pray believing prayers. And we need to ask, certainly, according to the will of God. So here we go tonight with five statements, five questions that are tests if we are praying aright. Number one, is it revealed? Is it revealed? Now, this was our lesson in Isaiah 45, and you remember it was the thing that started Daniel in prayer when he read that there were 70 years to the exile, they were coming near to the end of that, and for this God would be prayed to, that he may bring that exile to an end. And so Daniel set himself to pray, and he prayed earnestly, and of course he was God's instrument and God's means of answering. Now, but he prayed on the thing that God revealed. And we talked about God's decrees, God's purposes, praying over the very purposes of God. So how do we do that? Well, let me recommend to you that you pray over a text of Scripture every time if possible. That as you call on the Lord, you do so with your Bible open and with a specific passage in mind, and you pray that unto the Lord. Now, it could be as simple as John 3:16. In fact, I did this recently, and I had a wonderful time of prayer in praying over that verse and just praising the Lord for his great love to sinners, that he had no desire for us to perish, and he grants us the gift of eternal life. Or as in Matthew 28:19-20, I just read this today, was my own Bible reading, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you alway. And what a great promise. And it's a command that's given to us, and the Lord promises he will be with us. Now, you can pray absolutely that here is something God has revealed, and it's right here in his word. Another great text for prayer would be James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. God will not mock us. He will not turn us away. He will not become weary of our asking for wisdom. And what day in our Christian lives do we not need wisdom to guide us and direct in our decisions, in our relationships, and all of this? And we can pray boldly when we take his word and pray. So the first one is this: is it revealed? Number two, is it righteous? Is it righteous? Now, righteous means what is right in God's sight. Now, there is what we call the general will of God. And it's God's will for me today, tomorrow, and every day that I live on earth. And it's also God's will for you and for every Christian. This is God's general will. Like, honor your parents. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That's one of the commandments. And so that is a command that is given to us. And as we bring various issues to the Lord in prayer, we need to pray within that blanket will of God for every one of us. It's never the will of God for us to become liars or to be disobedient and rebellious to authority. These are things that are the general will of God. But then there's the particular will of God. Not everyone's called to be a preacher, and not everyone is called to be a missionary to Africa. And you, Africa is a big place and could take a lot of missionaries. But there are a lot of other countries in the world as well that also need the gospel. And the whole world is God's harvest field. And not all are called to be a politician, nor are we called to be the mayor of the city. There is that specific will of God for individuals. Now, how do I know it's right for me? Well, is it righteous? Will it keep me honest? Might be a new job, a new career. It might be marriage. You wouldn't want to be married to someone that will make you dishonest. You wouldn't want to be married to someone that would lower your morality. Will it keep me honest? And to enter a business, will it make me to compromise the truth and be dishonest, lie on the paperwork? No, it must be righteous. And if we're calling on God for specific situations, marriage, work, travel, a church, training, a school, will it keep me righteous? And as we ask the Lord to open up a door, this must be a very important guide for us. And so there's the two R's. Number three, is it regal? Now, I use the word R here, and I mean by this, is it for the glory of God? Is it for God's glory? And John 15:5, verse 8, it tells us here that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we must always ask with consciousness of the fruit that it will bring forth. Will it bring glory to God? The salvation of a soul. Now, I trust we would pray for that tonight. Will it bring glory to God? Is it his will and his purpose? And will it honor the Lord? So it's right for us to pray for the salvation of souls, for the extension of God's kingdom. That is regal. That's for God's glory. And then the honor of the Lord Jesus as God's Son. All of these things are for God's glory. And so if you're going to pray about something tonight, you can ask you these questions. Is it revealed? Is it in the Word of God? Is it righteous? Is it for God's glory? And if you can answer those three things right, then you can pray that with all your heart and with all your boldness. Number four, is it resigned? And for that, we pray, thy will be done. Not my will, but thine. Now, this comes very close to us because very often, and I suppose just about every week here in our prayer meeting, we pray for the sick in our congregation. And sometimes we have our own bodily issues that we need to pray about. Now, is it the will of God for us to pray for healing? Now, that we leave with the Lord saying, thy will be done. And we premise our praying with, if it please thee, Lord. Not everyone is healed from everything. We know that from the Apostle Paul, with that thorn in the flesh. The Lord said he wasn't going to take it away. He had to live with it. Then, of course, when praying for the dying, if someone is coming to the end of life, you cannot pray, Lord, it must be your will for this person to live. Again, we pray with resignation, thy will be done. What about a church to stay open? Again, we cannot force God's hand. We can pray, Lord, this would be for your glory. Lord, this would be for your honor. This would be for the extension of your kingdom. But Lord, thy will be done. And so we pray according to the will of the Lord. It could be about our finances to provide for your home, or it could be for a business venture. And we pray, Lord, you must bring in the financing that you can get this off the ground and supply the need. But again, as you pray with resignation that if it's God's will, if it pleases the Lord to do this, and by that you take the outcome to be the will of the Lord. And so we pray with resignation. Number five is it asked on redemption ground? Redemption ground. When we ask in Jesus' name, we never divorce the person from his work. And of course, we ask in Jesus' name is to ask in what he accomplished at the cross in his redeeming work. And if we're praying for mercy, the forgiveness of sin, or victory over sin, then we pray on redemption ground that the Lord has purchased this by his blood at the cross. It might be victory over temptation, over the devil. And when we ask for those things, we plead them all on redemption ground that the Lord has bought these blessings by his own death and by his sacrifice upon the cross. And we plead, therefore, for these victories in our lives, for this ability to overcome based on the victory of Calvary. And if you can pray the matter through on redemption ground, you will pray with power and you will pray with great blessing. Now, the big one that's in our mind, the one that we read here in John chapter 16, is the mighty ministry of the Holy Spirit. What we learned on Sunday morning, John 16, verse 8 through 11, that the Holy Spirit, when he has come, that he will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And that's right here in the scripture. That's revealed. And it's the will of God. And it's for the glory of God. And of course, the Lord went to the cross. He laid down his life and to redeem us so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in our hearts and live in us. And so tonight I would ask every one of you to pray much this evening for this work of God the Holy Spirit. As I say, it's revealed, it's righteous, it is for God's glory, it is submitting to the work of the Spirit in our church, in our lives, and it brings us on to redemption ground. So it fits all five of those criteria. And as we come tonight to pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, demonstrated, work effectually in our church, in our land, we are praying on good, solemn, biblical terms. Now, we know that King David did this in 2 Samuel 7:25. I'll just read this. "And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said." That's 2 Samuel 7, verse 25. "Do as thou hast said." Now, if you are praying and you've got your Bible open, and you might even have your finger on the verse, and whatever that verse is that you've been reading and it applies to you, it's applicable and it's a blessing to your own heart, and you come to pray and you pray that back to God and do what David did, "Lord, do as thou hast said," then surely we are on strong praying ground. And I advocate tonight that we take this lesson we learned on Sunday on the Holy Spirit's threefold ministry to convict of sin. Because without that work, all our preaching comes to nothing. We can have people in the pew and they might listen to some degree, but it doesn't sink in. It doesn't bring them to a brokenness over sin. That's the Spirit's work. And of righteousness. And we interpreted that. That is that the Lord Jesus is the perfect righteous Savior. He alone is the righteous one. And sinners need to hear that. But they also need to confess it and be brought definitely in heart to understand that. And then judgment. And we talk about the fear of God. Well, this is an element of the fear of God. When a sinner comprehends the depths and the depravity of a sin, and he senses, "I'm going to have to give account, I'm guilty, I have no way to answer this," then they sense the judgment of God and they will cry out for a Savior. And we need to pray tonight that the Holy Spirit, by his mighty grace, will do his work in hearts to turn men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord. So for those who have been taking notes, I'm just going to go through this one more time. Is it revealed? Is it righteous? Is it regal? That's for the glory of God. Is it resigned? That's to the will of God. And is it on redemption ground? And if we can pray with those things in place, we will be praying strong prayers, prayers that surely the Lord will be pleased to answer.